Let's turn together in our Bibles, this time to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll start at verse 5 and read to 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13. Here again, we'll start at verse 1, but our focus, our text, is verse 5 and 6 of Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, that's found on page 1197. 1197, Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Here's our focus. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And as far as reading in Hebrews 13, then if you'd like to turn together with me in the back of our songbooks to Lord's Day 50, as I said before, we're working our way through the Lord's Prayer. We're just about at the end of the Lord's Prayer and also at the end of our catechism as well. There are 52 Lord's Day, one for each week of the year, so we've come to Lord's Day 50. And this is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. So let's read the answer together. Question answer 125, that's page 895, 895 in our Trinity songbooks. Question answer 125, what does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs, so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. And as far as reading in the Catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the struggle is real, and it happens every year. Someone sends you an email or a text or a phone call. You need to come up with a list of things that you want or things that you need. But the problem is, what do we need? Even what do we want? We have so much, and we have been so blessed. And yet every year, gift exchange and grab bags happen. Presents appear under the tree. So what do you want for Christmas? What do you desire? What are you longing for this year? Well, instead of wanting Lego or perfume or a new phone or a new tool, today the one thing that we are all to desire is this. We are to desire a spirit of contentment. Of everything that we could long for, of everything that we could desire this time of year, of all that I want for Christmas, I want to grow in my contentment. That's what I want. I'm sure you've heard the story of a husband who asked his wife what she wanted for Christmas. And to this question, the wife said, well, I don't want anything for Christmas this year. But could you imagine what that would be like if there would be one person in the family who did not get anything? What would your response, children, be if on Christmas morning your family starts opening presents and everybody gets two or three presents, but you don't get any? What would your response be? How would that make you feel if everyone gets presents and one person was left out? But when it comes to the gifts that God gives, has God neglected to give gifts to anyone? Could anyone say to God, you neglected to give me gifts? I did not receive anything from your hand. Has God forgotten to give us good gifts? It is true that we want to give presents, we want to give gifts to people to show our love, to show our appreciation. But this time of year, the spirit of Christmas is often the spirit of coveting. Consumerism, materialism, these are the things that drive society and become the spirit of Christmas. Well, the title of our sermon for tonight is simply this: The Cure to Coveting at Christmas. It is hard to avoid the spirit of coveting at any time of the year, but particularly this time of year. In this context, Jesus Christ is going to teach us that we are to pray. And when we pray, we are to ask of our Heavenly Father that He would give us what we need. Give us this day our daily bread, the fourth petition reads. So our theme is this: Jesus Christ teaches us to be content with what God has given as we see Him as the source of every good and perfect gift. Jesus Christ is teaching us to be content as He is turning our vision to see our Father as the source of every good and perfect gift. And our first point then, we are going to consider the needs that we have. When Jesus teaches us to pray, or taught His disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread, He is teaching us, He's teaching the church to pray for the things that they need, to ask of God for all things that are necessary each day. We are not asking God for the things that we want, and we are not seeking to store up and amass so that we need not ask God for what we need tomorrow. We are asking God for what we need this day, for what is necessary for today. Now, we can bring our desires to God in prayer, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with asking God for things that we desire, to put our hearts longing before the Lord in our prayers and petitions, to lay our plans before the Lord and to speak our good desires to Him in our prayers. But this particular petition is dealing with our daily needs. We are asking for God to give us what He has promised to give us. We are laying hold of a promise that God has given. Well, what has God promised to give us? God has promised to provide us everything we need for our physical well-being as long as we are called to live here on this earth. And when we are praying this petition, we are simply laying hold to that promise. God, You have promised to give me what I need today as long as I am called to live here on this earth. So I come to the Heavenly Father, I come to the throne of grace and pray, Lord, if you have ordained me to live today, provide me what I need so that I can live for Your glory. Our question and answer puts it like this: we are asking God to provide for our daily physical needs. In this way, in this prayer, we are learning the attitude of the Israelites in the wilderness, the good attitude of the Israelites in the wilderness. You see, the attitude of the Israelites in the wilderness was one of complete dependence daily. Every day they had to go into the surrounding community, surrounding wilderness, and pick up their manna. And they had to do that again each day, looking to the Lord's hand. And while they were in the wilderness, their shoes did not wear out, their tents did not fall apart. God provided for their daily needs each day, and every morning God impressed this upon them. You need to look to me each day. You need to go out and get that manna, and you need to just get enough for today, because tomorrow you need to go out there again. That was the good lesson that God was teaching them through manna. However, what you find in the sinful attitude of the Israelites was a malcontent, was a coveting desire. Remember how great we had it back in Egypt? We had the flesh pots, we had the melons, we had the onions, we had all of these different foods, and now all we have is this stinking manna. It was so much better back in the land of Egypt, back in the land of captivity. So the Israelites failed to learn the lesson that God was teaching, and that lesson is simply this: give us this day our daily bread. As God's people, we are to ask God and to look from God for everything that we need, both for our bodies and also for our souls. But this petition is focusing on our bodies. Well, what do we need for our bodies? What is our daily need that is here in view? Well, we need food and drink. We need something to sustain our bodies. We need shelter, clothing. We need money to purchase things. We need gainful employment. We need able minds and bodies. All of these are our needs. But the fact is, we have so much more than we need. It may be God's will to give you more than you need, but this particular petition is forcing us, is teaching us to ask only for what is needed and what is necessary. Like the birds of the heavens finding a nest from his hand, or the flowers of the field being clothed by his fatherly hand, so also we are to learn our dependence on God each day for our daily needs. And this petition is also teaching us that God is the one who meets those needs. It is not our strength, it is not our wisdom, it's not our planning, it's not our power that provides for us. It is God in his good providence. God alone knows what we need, and God alone provides for that need. He has the power to give us all that is necessary. He has the wisdom to know that which is necessary. So in this petition, we are, as the Catechism puts it like this, we are to withdraw, we are to remove, we're to take away any trust in any creature and to place our trust in God alone. This is a prayer of faith. Lord, teach me to look to you and to you alone to provide for everything that I have, to provide every need, so that I can acknowledge you as the fountain and source of every good and perfect gift. The Bible teaches us that when we are praying for our needs, we are to avoid two extremes in what we ask and in what we seek. Even in this particular petition, we are to find balance when it comes to our request for daily provision. We read this earlier in Proverbs 30. In wisdom, we learn, this is Proverbs 30, that we are to ask of God neither for poverty nor for riches. There is an inherent danger in both extremes. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are not asking for extreme poverty. Because as Proverbs 30 says, if we are poor, if we are stuck in poverty, we may be tempted to steal and so dishonor the name of God. Praying, give us this day our daily bread, we are not praying that it is our desire that we would starve. We don't want our children to go hungry. We don't want to go without clothing. Those who are poor may be tempted to doubt God's provision, or their life may in fact be in danger by perishing in their hunger. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are not praying for poverty, but neither are we praying for extreme riches or wealth. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Because the other extreme, which is riches or wealth, has its own set of inherent dangers. Those who are rich tend to trust in those riches. Too much prosperity chokes the seed of God's word. Even as Jesus teaches in Matthew 19, it is hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. Riches fill our eyes with the treasures of this world so that we worry and fret as we plan and we try to keep these riches in the palm of our hands. Rather, wisdom teaches, as Proverbs 30, verse 8 continues, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with the food that is necessary, that is needful. Give us this day our daily bread." What is needed? What is necessary? Avoid the extremes and the sin that goes along with them. So this petition guards our hearts against gluttony, becoming fat and overindulgence, but it also guards against the stoic who refuses to enjoy food and the blessing from God's hand. We don't starve our bodies as temples wasting away. Nor do we fatten ourselves as cattle are fattened for the slaughter. This petition brings us back to the middle, to the center. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach is meant for food, but these things will not last forever. Wisdom teaches us to be content and satisfied and to know when enough is enough. Daily gifts from God's hand are good and necessary. Even when it comes to storing treasures, this is Proverbs 23, verse 4. "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist." Discernment, knowing when you have enough. So to summarize this first point, God's people are asking God to give us what is necessary so that we would have what we need. In history, God's people have been both rich and poor. You can be a faithful, consistent Christian being rich or being poor. Abraham, for example, very wealthy. So was David. The apostles, on the other hand, were very poor and had nothing to give except for the riches of the gospel and the healing in Jesus' name. Job himself was at one time rich and at one time very poor. So having riches or being poor does not in itself make you right with God or make you a faithful Christian. It is both the rich and the poor that must learn to pray this prayer and say it from the heart. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Well, now that we've considered the need that is view in this particular petition, in our second point, we're going to press forward to look at the steps that will help us avoid the coveting spirit of this age. Coveting is rooted in unbelief. A covetous heart doubts that God will provide. If coveting is the materialistic spirit of this age, God's people will learn how to avoid this mentality. And here's where we consider 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, specifically, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." The first step in avoiding the spirit of constant craving or the spirit of covetousness, the first step is godliness. Godliness is the first step in avoiding coveting craving. Godliness is first. Seeking first the kingdom of God and righteousness. Focusing on the spiritual blessings. Putting your treasures in heaven, knowing that where your treasures are, your heart will be also. Investing your treasures in the world that is to come. The fact is, we spend so much time and so much effort focusing on our earthly possessions and our material wealth, that the things of God and the spiritual pursuits get pushed to the side. It is safe to say that we live in a particularly challenging time because we are so busy. We busy ourselves often with things of no lasting value. We're so distracted, our focus is divided. But godliness must be a priority. Godliness is not a leftover that we fit in if time allows. It is godliness, communion with God, that cuts out the root of coveting. So prayer, isn't it interesting that the solution, or the cure to coveting, is prayer? And what do we do in prayer but ask God to provide for us? It is a spiritual discernment and wisdom. In prayer, asking God to provide for us and to give us a spirit of contentment. And that's our second point. So the first one is godliness. The first step is godliness. The second step is contentment. 1 Timothy 6 puts it like this: godliness with contentment. What is contentment? Contentment is being happy with what you have. It's counting your blessings. How quickly we forget the lessons of Thanksgiving from a few weeks ago. Right? That was only a couple weeks ago that we talked about a whole day set apart for Thanksgiving. But the Thanksgiving marks the unofficial beginning season of covetousness, materialism. So as God's people, we are to desire to grow and to seek to pursue the spirit of contentment, counting your gifts and giving thanks to God as the giver. Coveting and contentment cannot stay in the same heart. They are mutually exclusive. If you are content, you will not be covetousness. You are to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes down to you from the Father of lights, as James 1 puts it, giving thanks to God for the good things that he has already given. Or as we read in Hebrews 13, verse 5, be content. God's people are satisfied with what God has given. They don't need the newest or the latest. If we have food and clothing, if we have what is necessary for our bodily health, with this we are satisfied. So much running, so much busyness, so much stress could be avoided this time of year if we only took this lesson to our heart. I don't need that. What God has given is sufficient. And with this, I am content. The third step to avoid coveting is to free your heart from the love of money. Going back to our passage from Hebrews 13, it says, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. The fact is, greed is a restless heart. Greed is the green-eyed monster. It is the leech that always craves and is never satisfied. As God's people, we have to guard our hearts against the love of money. It is not money that is the root of all kinds of evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is just a tool. It can be a gift from God. But our passage says to be on guard against the love of money, to watch out when you start to amass things. When you pile up your possessions, your heart is weighed down with worldly anxiety. I could put it this way: of the amassing and spending of wealth, there is no end. Rather, a liberated heart is a heart that does not love the things of this world. We avoid loving money when we learn to love what is truly lovely. The solution to loving money is loving God and loving his people. Loving God, loving his kingdom and his people more than these things. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then fourthly, the fourth step, if you will, against avoiding covetousness is learning to be generous. Generous. God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful generosity teaches our heart to let go of these worldly things. Truly, it is better to give than to receive. When you give away these earthly, worldly treasures, when you're supporting Christian ministries, you're rewiring the part of your brain where you are cutting off the desire that loves things, and you start to love people and love God and His Word. God gives you things not to amass because you can't keep them, you can't bring them with you. Rather, you are to use the things that God gives you for blessing others. Generosity kills a coveting spirit. So not only giving gifts this time of year because it's expected of you, but being generous in all times, using your time, talent, and treasure to minister to those who are in need. As this particular petition reads, it is not, "Give me this day my daily bread." This petition is teaching us to have a corporate and communal focus. Give us this day our daily bread. God puts His people in a particular context for a specific reason. This petition is a corporate communal prayer. Paul even says this, interestingly, in 2 Corinthians 8. As a matter of fairness, those who have been richly blessed by God financially are to go above and beyond with their generosity. As a matter of fairness, there should be generosity overflowing within the context of the church. Those who have been richly blessed by God, giving more and sending aid to those who have less. Particularly 2 Corinthians 8, verse 14, "Your abundance at the present time should supply for their need so that there may be fairness." So as God's people, we pray this petition as a congregation. We learn to look out for the needs of other people and be willing to help when opportunity presents itself. We can be rich in good deeds, and in this way, we can send our riches on ahead, storing up treasures where moth and rust do not attack and where no thief can steal. That is how we avoid the coveting spirit of this particular age. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Avoid loving money, but be content. This holds benefits for this life and for the life to come. Because how you use and view your money and what you ask for from God proves what lives in your heart. To conclude, praying for your daily bread teaches us all how needy and dependent we are each day. When we see God as the giver of good gifts and we ask God each day for what is necessary, we will no longer cling to the things of this world with greedy desire and sinful coveting intent. The cure to coveting at Christmas is to ask God for what you need and to thank God when God meets those needs. As our theme states, Jesus Christ teaches us to be content with what God has given, as we see Him as the source of every good gift. Coveting is rooted in unbelief. A covetous heart doubts that God will provide. A greedy heart thinks that we need to make our own plans to secure our financial future. But what do we have that God has not given? What do we have that He has not provided? What do we have that God has not first given to us? So may we all, particularly at this time of year, learn to grow in godly contentment as we learn to look to our Heavenly Father for all our needs. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for this wonderful reminder to battle against the spirit of this age, that our own hearts are prone to wander, prone to desire, prone to long, and to lust and covet for the things of this world. Help us, O Lord, to see You as the giver of good gifts. Help us to depend on You, to rely on You for all that is necessary. May we be cheerful givers. May we be generous. May we acknowledge all these blessings as talents from Your hand. And may we be good stewards of the blessings You have given to us as we look to You each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.